Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio. Going to talk all things that are Orioles and Ravens, probably in that order if I know him and I know him well. Nestor, welcome in.
Well, Dennis, last week you had me on and I was completely unprepared to discuss Terry Funk. And we did 30 minutes on like wrestling and wrestling. I still can't find the picture. I found the picture of Harley Race and Ric Flair.
Good
and
stuff.
It's a really good picture. I'll share it with you before the segment's over as sort of a, you know, chef's kiss here. But Labor Day weekend. Football next week. I've got great guests on the show. John McClain did a half an hour with me talking about the Oilers wearing their throwbacks and how controversial that's going to be. I have Dan Pastorini on the show this week. I have Nils Lofgren from the E Street Band because Springsteen's coming to town next weekend, you know, aside from all this football and baseball and all this stuff. It's quite a weekend we have next week. We're in first place. They're going to be playing West Coast baseball the next week. Pitching's been, you know, like, so this is as good as it gets. I've owned the station 25 years. It's our 25th anniversary. I'm rolling out the signs this week, which was number 25 on the WNST Stories of Glory. And then number 24 will be our Barn Purple live show, legacy of live radio and bringing out athletes and Art Donovan and just all the stuff that people have forgotten that we did. So the lottery inspired me with their 50th anniversary. Gotcha. Have you done an anniversary? Have you ever planned one? I don't mean like wedding parties, bar mitzvahs.
No, I mean
like a work, like a 25th or a 50th at Coons
we
or
did.
Something like
we
that.
We did. Back in 07, we had our 25th anniversary at this location. Coons has been in this business since 1964, 59 years, but 25 back then here. I'm coming up. I've got 18 years in as general manager here at Coons on the 25th of September. So trying to make it to 20 at least. So,
well, you know, 25 years when you did that in 07, I'm sure the Coons family was like this and that. We're going to put extra rehab of logo. So I'm really trying to like, I know you think I'm legitimate, but Dennis, there are people around town that are whispering about me, and I'm not going to allow that after 25 years. This is a time for me to put the icing on the cupcake and spike the ball a little bit. So I'm going back through these 25 stories of glory. And here's the reason I use the word glory, right? You remember Memorial Stadium. Time will not dim the glory of their deeds, right?
That's correct.
So I thought over all this time, going back to Memorial Stadium with these old pictures in 1998, when we started the station, we're still in Memorial Stadium at that point, like moving out. And I thought, really, this is to your point, gratitude and all the people like you and all the listeners and all just all the people that made this go. I didn't do these road trips with no one. I didn't march in the streets of New Orleans. 15,000 people showed up. So we've had all of these people that have made this happen. So I've changed the theme to time will not dim the glory of your deeds. So it's you guys that have powered this place for all these years. And it's really been a lot of fun. These pictures aren't about me. They're about like who's in them with me through all of these and people we've lost along the way. You know, I go through these barn pictures and I see pictures of Tony Siragusa and
getting there.
Yeah, man. And I want to appreciate this part of it. And I really getting back to on the field. I mean, we're a real pennant race with real implications for buy or no buy, home games or no home games, World Series or no World Series. The least thing, and you and I have done hours on John Angelos. We've done hours on off the field issues with all this stuff. This is, Billick would say time for pay and time for play. Boy, this is the time for play for all of them. For anybody who wants to get paid, hey, go win a World Series. Cano, you think you're a closer? You just became one. You know, 5 months ago, you're in AAA trying to figure this out and make the team. And now you're going to be closing the biggest games of your life. And the stadium last Saturday on bobblehead night, when it got full, it's going to be full next month. And it is really disappointing to see it not full and it not be vibrant. But that's a reflection of all of it. You know, we can go through the city and this and the crime and parking and pricing and John Angelos and the team. And it's easy on TV and all of that. The games will be full in October. It won't be the same fans because they won't be able to afford to go. Eddie Lauer will not be sitting in that seat on the eighth row every night on the end in the playoffs because that's going to be a $600 ticket for real. No, and that's going to cost Mr. Coon $600 if he wants to sit in it. You know what I mean?
We went Sunday and we went Tuesday. And yeah, the crowds were – Sunday crowd was – it looks like it was about half full, but Tuesday evening was maybe 10,000-12,000 fans there.
Look, it's choppy based on giving bobbleheads away. Yeah. You know, you start giving your cars away, there'll be a line, right? Like literally. I mean, you know, and $10 tickets and the squirt zone. I mean, they have a lot of assets. You know what the first asset is, Dennis?
Come on.
They're really good.
They're really good.
You know, and at the end of the day, the freaking shell game and the bird and the statues and the food and what? No. The food is the game. And if the game's good and the team's good, build it and they'll come. They're coming, right? They're coming. At what price point, at what volume, at what rapidity, who's coming back? You went twice this week? Twice more than I went.
Twice
I went down
days.
On Friday night. We didn't go because we just weren't in the mood. And I have gotten into – I like Ben McDonald when he does the games. You know what I mean? Like there's a thing about it and a routine about it for me that I've fallen into. And I lived two blocks away for 20 years. And it's not like I wish I were down there or I would go more if I were down there. I would go more if they treated me better. You know what I mean? That's literally that's my excuse. Now, that being said, I give them the same amount of time and I sit here every night and I watch them and I really do root for these kids more so than I rooted for J.J. Hardy or Manny Machado, guys that I didn't think were good dudes. And I don't know whether these guys are good dudes or not. I wish
they
I
seem
did.
To be. They look
they
look
should
the
want
part
me
anyway.
To know that they're good dudes to, you know, to Buck Showalter's wife who wrote about me a couple weeks ago. I don't know them, but they seem like guys I want to know. Yeah. And I don't feel left out because it would be a time commitment that I don't, if they invite me back and want to treat me great, I'd love to come back. I'd love to chronicle it. Major League Baseball may credential me next month. We'll see.
Right.
I haven't done anything to not recruit, but spending time around them as a professional would be wonderful. Spending time around them on the couch right now and watching it all happen has been really a joyous thing for me at this point in my life. Cause it's not that I can disassociate it with John Angelos or the Angelos family or their misdeeds or even the stuff that they're doing right now to Westmore, to the city, to the taxpayers. They're asking all of you, all of us for more money. That when the first pitch goes off and the ball's in play and it's balls and strikes and the fans are into it, this has been a joy. It's been a gift to me, and I wish my father was still alive. I certainly wish my mother was still alive to see it. I wish that everybody were in on it. I wish it were full every night, because if this were St. Louis or Boston or all these other north side of Chicago, it would be more vibrant, and that's shame on them for not making me feel like I'm welcome to come. I mean, literally, I don't feel welcome. Certainly, I don't feel welcome there ever. So, and that's been going on for 20 years.
Well, they've been talking about, they've been telling people clearly to stay away from you, but you're not a good you're not a good dude. I mean, that came out recently.
Well, I mean,
and you weren't shocked by it, I'm sure.
Not in the least. You know what? Here's the amazing thing. And I'll go shoot with you right now because we did wrestling last week. So I'm writing these letters and you might even be offended by the lie. I hope you're not, because it's all going to be true and it's all from the heart. And you know that, you know, I'm incapable of lying about any of this. Certainly. I'm just incapable of lying about it for them or for myself to anybody's benefit. I'm a journalist. It doesn't mean no good to lie. It's not in the code of who I am, but the issue for me writing to the football team, as my wife and I have been boxed out of seats that they can't give away now. They're $51 to get in. They're going to win by 3 touchdowns. We're all going to love them. September 11th, they're going to be 1-0. I mean, John McClain came on here and he said, "Master, there's no chance that the Ravens are going to beat the Titans. They're in Texas." So that's pretty good, John McClain. But so the thing with the football team, you know, at this point is that this is – there's an engagement period for them now where the baseball team's going to be in the news for a little while.
Sure, you know,
the next year or two or three, whether it's John being stupid, whether it's they don't sign Henderson and give him money, whether John cries poor, at some point dad's going to die. At some point, mom's going to have to fit. At some point, there'll be a new owner or Major League Baseball will let John run it, or he'll move to Nashville, or there'll be all of that. But chronicling all of that is going to be white hot fire for the Orioles. And their offseason is going to be white hot because they're either going to take a dive and nosedive, and they're going to screw all this up one way or another, or they're going to win the World Series, or they're going to fight hard and lose in 7 games, and it's going to be devastating. But they are going to own
the headlines
for a little while here, you know? And the Ravens are going to win games, right? I mean, they really are. The Ravens are going to be, by Halloween, the Ravens are going to be a playoff competitor, right?
As long as Lamar Jackson stays upright, they'll win games. If Lamar Jackson goes down, just like the last two seasons, that's going to be up in the air.
Yeah, you know, I guess at the end of this is I root for good people, right? And I've met so many good people in sports. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to list them, beginning with Gene Ubriaco when I was a 15-year-old kid with a notebook, and he took me in like a grandfather, and he's still in my life and still takes me out to lunch in Catonsville 40 years later, that all these people that I've collected, every Marvin Lewis, every picture you've ever seen of me, where it looks like the person likes me or doesn't like me, the real sin in this, and this is dastardly, it's devious, is this. There are Ravens people, and I talked to a couple of them, a couple of famous players this week at length about my situation, and one of them said to me, I'm trying to figure out what's in it for them. Like, what's in it for the Baltimore Ravens to be mean to Nestor? Or and his wife and his radio, like what's in it for the team? So I've had all that, but the players who are removed text me back, call me back, treat me like family, ask how my wife's doing. We have all these pictures of these purple shows from 100 years ago, whether it's Mike Flynn, whether it's Michael McCrary, whether it just if Goose were alive, you know, whether it's Kim Herring, Stoney Case, Brandon Stokely, you know, just on it, John Ogden. They're all in my phone. Brad Jackson, just go down. Kyle Richardson and I talked for an hour last week. Like, just these are friends of mine. They're people who've been in my home. Matt Stover, been in my home. You know, like all of these people. And this is the thing that the Orioles did to me that's just like it's unspeakable from a human situation, especially when my wife was dying. Everyone in the Oriole organization, after Free the Birds, Flanagan hung on for a few years, still inside, and other people in the offices, ticket takers, people I've known that sell there, people that are on my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my Twitter, people that were at my wedding, had to pretend they don't know me. Mm-hmm. There's someone who was at my wedding 20 years ago who has not been allowed to speak to me because they work for the Orioles and I'm me. This is now Owings Mills. The people who sold me hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of tickets, the people who greeted me at the door and said hello to me, greeted me in the hallways on the second floor, secretaries, assistants, scouts, salespeople, community relations, marketing, tickets, ops. None of them are allowed to speak to me.
That's crazy.
Or communicate with me in any way. I don't have a friend in the franchise anymore. That's They're crazy. All scared for their lives to speak to me and not even say, look, I can't talk Ravens with you. And that would say that comes from Steve. I'll give you a fun story about why the Ravens deep down hate me. And like Art Modell loved me. Art was like, like Brian, have at it. You know, have at it. Whatever you're going to say, you're a media guy. Have at it. You know, and I had John McClain on. Go look at what John McClain writes about the Texans when they're losing 35-3 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's brutal. You know what I mean? But it's the truth.
It's the truth.
And it, you know, or unfiltered truth as Brian Billick would have at it. But the fact that in these other places, the criticism serves to make you better. One of the reasons the Orioles really hated me was my radio station became a toilet for them, right? People had a bad experience at the game. They couldn't call the Orioles, the fan relations, to fix the problem. Hey, Nestor, you won't believe what happened. I had cold hot dogs or I had warm beer. You know, whatever the complaint would be, that's what phone calls were here in 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when the Orioles weren't good, right? In the same way of people having a good time with a Ravens experience, going on a road trip, calling me all week, saying I had the most fun ever, and my tailgate and this and that, you know, like good experiences. But when it comes to the football team and sort of the complaint department for them, there were no complaints for a long, long time, right? Like, we were just happy to have the team. There was the honeymoon period. We won again. We were good. There was Ray Lewis. But, you know, we looked the other way on Ray Lewis and Jamal Lewis and Jurisprudence and Ray Rice. And, you know, you just got your new Roquan Smith jersey and you're worked up. I mean, we love the Ravens and it's all good like that. But the criticism part of them and fair criticism that Art Modell embraced is something that Dick Cass, when he first got here and was trying to corporatize everything, I always got the schedule first. And this is a tribute to you. And you're further up. I'm going to honor you as a number because of the tech service, because I think our tech service is a top 25 story of glory. I hope you would agree, being the long-term sponsor.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like we have broken so much news. I remember one day sitting out in the castle and being there the day the schedule was released. Like literally it was happenstance that the Liars luncheon was the same day. And I remember this being during the Anita Marks period. So this was probably, oh, you tell me, 8, 9, 10. Our tech service was very new. Nobody had one, right? You sponsored it. You've been sponsoring it for, I think we started in 08, 07, 08.
It's
was it
been a
in
minute,
that range?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the minute text became like a thing, 07, 08. We probably had it 16 years. You've been the only sponsor. And how many of our, in our audience, 10,000 people, you know, we get it and say there's news. I was in the castle in the cafeteria, and I literally was at my laptop on their Wi-Fi, and I had the schedule leaked to me.
Good
And
stuff.
I put it out, and I watched every pocket in the room. I watched everybody grab their phone at the same time for our text. Right? So this was probably 8, 9, 10. But when Cass got here in 5, 6, 7, I broke the schedule on the tech service. We were reading it on the air at 10 in the morning, right? This is before the NFL had a show. This was when they would release it on BAL at 5 o'clock at night, maybe. And the NFL network was sort of nascent, sort of just getting going. And not everybody had it or whatever. It wasn't that kind of outlet. NFL.com, I guess, was at that point. But for me, I wanted to get it to book flights for road trips and hold weekends and get hotel rooms in Nashville and whatever. And this is true. When Dick Cass came in, I got the schedule leaked to me. And he thought it came from inside the building. He thought somebody in the building likes Nestor. And to show his might as a manager, one of his first acts, he shut down their email and was trying to figure out who to fire.
Wow.
For leaking to, well, I know this, like, for this came from somebody who's long gone, but said to me. And as it turns out, the person that leaked it to me called me, because we're not stupid enough to send stuff, but wasn't even in the organization. It was something
wild.
I'm a source journalist. I'm not a half ass. I've trained to do this, you know? And so first off, if I'm putting my name next to the schedule, it can't be what that schedule leaker puts out on Twitter every year that is a joke. I was never wrong on a schedule, ever. I always hit every date, every home game. I never got the Cincinnati-Baltimore games transposed because Marvin wouldn't let me do that. But they shut down the building trying to figure out
who the mole was, what the leak was.
How I got the schedule back in the day. And I fought it for years, and I still took a lot of pride in getting the schedule out. And now it's one of those things that's in the, like, the only one that gets it's that guy, Brian, that runs the trips, because he's got a leak inside the building that Sashi Brown's asleep on, and it shows up out on the internet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. But the building, my heart is broken in a lot of ways about all of this. But having people that have been in my life for 27 years, no longer, they I've been ghosted. Adam Jones, what did he say that he's been cut out? Now he's cut back in, which is great.
Yeah,
I mean, they fixed him and give him a bobblehead and sell some tickets and bring him. I mean, I love Adam Jones. They never should have let Adam Jones play in Japan. It's the greatest thing. If I ever had a podcast with him, if you ever wanted to upgrade, he and I would sit around and talk about Japan and about how good that was for his life, but how awful that was that they just didn't give him a couple million bucks and let him be a guy here, let him be the Ray Bourque here, right? I mean, the fact that they couldn't afford him and let him hang out as long as he wanted to hang out. I mean, they tried to trade him to Philadelphia in the pennant race. He refused to leave. That's how badly he, you know, that he Did he wanted to be an Oriole?
Oh, he
right?
was all in. He was all in. There's
Yeah,
no
and
doubt about
I
that.
don't know him, but I owe him. If you see him or know him, and
I'm not.
Justin Drummond from Planet Fitness is coming on next week, and I know they're
Okay.
friends. Adam Jones wrote me a note 8 months ago. The only time I've heard from, I've talked to Adam Jones 3 times in my life. You ready? It's 3 times. The first time I talked to him, he was in Steve DeCastro's box. He was inebriated. It was during a football game. We took a really fun picture together. My wife was in the hospital battling for her life, so I look a little wretched. It was December of 15. I remember it. So I took a picture with him. The only time I've ever spoken to him, and he didn't recognize me because I just looked like a fan. The only time we've spoken, he recognized me. I was on the field at the All-Star game in New York at Citi Field. So this was July of 13. Okay. Everything's about my wife's cancer in my life. It's kind of strange. Like our world changed in March of
Of
14.
course it did. Sure.
So in July of 13, my wife and I were about to go on our 10th anniversary and we went to Tahiti. We did the South Pacific. It was the most magical. We went to Moorea. If you love someone, take them to Moorea, take them to Bora Bora. It was magical. So my 10th anniversary is July 25th, 2013. It's about July 12th, 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th. The All-Star game was in New York. And boy, the Orioles were good, right? The Orioles were finally good. And they had a bunch of All-Stars. Tillman, Jones, Hardy, right? I did the Major League Baseball credentials me. So I'm in New York and I'm working. And I also worked the Washington All-Star game where I talked to Machado in the locker room 5 minutes before he was dealt to the Dodgers or wherever the hell they sent him for 5 minutes. So in 12, Adam Jones is playing catch, warming up. I'm not sure if it was Monday or Tuesday. I don't know if it was the workout or if it was, it had to have been the workout, but maybe not. No, it was the game night. It was game night because he saw me floating around on Monday and recognized me. And he's playing catch, like literally playing catch. And I'm out on the field area and it's crowded. There's media and they're trying to make room. It's like a lot of media. So it must have been game day. It was 4:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like flying to Tahiti the next day, like literally. And with my wife, and he's playing catch, and he says to me, "Hey man, why does a big guy hate you so much? What, like literally?" And I looked up, and I remember this. It's like 5:20 in the afternoon, and I said to him, "I said, hey man, how you doing?" I said, "You expect me to answer that while you're playing catch?" I said, "I
Yeah,
don't
casually.
like."
He wanted a casual answer.
Like he wanted me to say, "Oh, I did a walkout on him for no good reason at all. It wasn't the 13 years of lies. It wasn't being on the radio station every day, taking every complaint. It wasn't watching people treated like garbage universally. Players, non-players, it didn't matter who they were. Like all of it, you know." And he wanted me to explain this to him as a young player who just got a $50 million contract, right? And he's in the All-Star game, and he asked me, so I knew he cared. He cared. I mean, most guys wouldn't care enough, right? He cared. And we had a lot of mutual friends. Jason Pappas was a neighbor of his. I know you know. A lot of people love. I mean, he married into the Fugit family. I mean, Gene Fugit's been in my home having coffee.
Gene was a customer of mine, and he and I played golf together. And he's told me about Adam Jones walking around the house with a bat in his hands. That's how much he loved baseball. That's what I know about Adam Jones. He loved baseball. Never walking around the house practicing swinging, which, probably not good for the house, but good for him.
So I don't know Adam Jones at all. So Adam Jones that day, I said, "You know what? Here's my number. If you ever want to get a coffee and sit and talk about it, I'll be glad to tell you everything." And then I got on the plane and I started flying and I'm sitting in Bora Bora and in Moorea and I have my laptop because I'm a worker. And I came home and it inspired me to write the Peter Principles. So when I came home, I had just finished writing Purple Rain 2. Remember? We won the Super Bowl in January
Yes.
13. I wrote the book. I was in writer, writer, writer mode, right? And I just finished the book, signing the book. My arm hurt from signing the book. It was July after Father's Day. I had just done all of this and took my wife to Tahiti as a celebration, right? And then she gets cancer 6 months. It was awful, but But Adam Jones inspired me to write The Peter Principles. So if
Good
you
stuff.
See him, please tell him that I did not take that conversation casually. And if I see him, or Jerry Coleman sees him, or the Banner people, tell Adam Jones that The Peter Principles was written for him. For him. So he would know why the old man hates me. Because I witnessed all of this. I watched all of this. I was a part of all of this. I watched Ken Rosenthal get completely emasculated. I was a part of it. I called him knows it all. Now he's a legend, right? He never lied. Ken Rosenthal never lied. Peter Schmuck never lied. Certainly Mike Flanagan never lied to me about the inside of all of it. And Flanagan's dead at this point by 11. So I felt like writing The Peter Principles would answer questions for people. And we're in the middle of releasing it right now. So it's a good timing on it. But the Ravens thing I'm writing about this week, but really it's more like the inside of the organization, people that I would go down and have eggs and bacon at the Blue Moon Cafe. There's a marketing person that works at the Ravens who I'm friends with. Every year we went and had breakfast together and talked about football, the team, marketing, the road, like all. I don't know the person anymore. I mean, it's insane. And they expect me to come on the air and not talk about it. It's just not right. I mean, so I could talk about all sorts of things. I can have Nils Lofgren on, you and I, but like, I miss going to the games and I'll look forward to watching the games. There is a peaceful part of watching it on TV, but I don't see the game well at all. Mm-hmm. I don't see the game the way I see it. I've seen it from my seats for 26 years. And my wife and I, we mourn that. Yeah, we mourn the loss
that's a
of going
shame.
To the
really
games.
Is.
Yeah, we do. And that's all said and good. I began this by saying it's the most exciting 8 weeks of sports that I don't want to say I've ever experienced. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. You know what I mean? Like really think about both teams having a chance to win. Because certainly 79 and 83, there was nothing like that. 96, 97, the Ravens weren't any good. You know, 12 through 16, there were chances. But this is different. The feeling about the baseball team's different now, and as it should be. They're really good, man. They're really good, and they're really likable.
They're good. They're young, and they're energetic. They're enthusiastic. I don't think they know any better. I think they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing yet at this stage, but it's a lot of fun watching them grow. And if the pitching can hold up, Nestor, who knows? They have a puncher's chance of bringing home the championship.
Well, you know, if I wore the orange bird like one of my former employees and doing the pre and post game, and all I had to say was good things, if I had to only
positive
like,
Nestor,
if that was where I was, if all I had to do was shine it up. I mean, I could really talk about Grayson Rodriguez's emergence and him and Bradish in 1 and 2 being as formidable as anybody. You know, if their arms are right and the innings are right, and we're talking 5 weeks from now, rest, winning this division, so important. And then where DL Hall is and whether John Means can be a part of this and where the cavalry is and where Fuji and where Cano are, because we're just done talking about Batista, right? Like that's just
looks
that's
that way.
Not a thing.
Looks
and
that way.
Between
yeah. When you
Flaherty,
talk about Batista and Tommy John surgery in the same sentence, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, between Flaherty and Gibson and thinking about them both being ready for a Game 3, right? And saying, where are we in the series? And Cole Irvin and who's going to work out of the bullpen? Tyler Wells? I mean, you know, maybe you get 3 great innings in a Game 3 out of him in some way. And it's more pitch by committee because the playoffs are pitch by committee anyway. They really are. I mean, if you have Scherzer and he goes 7 and 2, good for you. But I don't think anybody's expecting that in October on inning 180, 200, 220, 230 to be thinking in those terms. October is a survival thing, right? It really is. And the youth may serve them well in October in a lot of ways, you know?
Well, it's fun to talk about and speculate and romanticize what if. So they're right there. And, for the first time in many years, we're talking about the Orioles in September.
No. There's not a what if. There's a what will be now.
What will be.
What will be. No, it's not what. There's not an if. If they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a collapse. It'll be colossal.
A monumental
like
cup
it,
collapse.
It'll be its own story if they go 4-18.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
can't see that happening. Not with this team.
Nor they. Right? Okay.
If they haven't been swept since sadly Rutschman became their catcher, the starting catcher. So we not imagining that kind of a collapse, but
I believe they'll make the playoffs. I believe they'll be formidable when they get there. I hope they don't have any more instances of injury, right? I remember the Markakis thing, which,
yeah,
and Luke and I fought at length this week, you know, amicably, of course, about the 12 and 14 and 16 Orioles. And just, I thought the 12 team had the best chance to win now in retrospect. And I hope that I don't feel that way about this team because, and I think the cautionary tale, the White Sox thought they might be good this year. I had John Martin on this week from the Maryland Lottery, our partner in our next Crab Cake Tour is the 15th at Fadley's, by the way, with our Coppin State partners. And John Martin's a Guardians, Cleveland fan, Cleveland baseball fan. And they were supposed to be good, and now they're petering out. Padres, I have my Tony Gwynn jersey in the club. Just, like, monumentally disappointing.
Oh, Padres.
The Mets. How about the Mets?
Mets, yeah. These winners don't stay up forever. You're right. You got to jump through it when you can. That's what I meant by what if. What if they bring it home? That's the whole thing. That's
like, well, and that's why the here and now is so important. And the Billy Joel song, This Is the Time, right? You know, I would say this. They're not going to have Odell Beckham next year. The Ravens are going to be on a slide and a decline in off seasons for what they can do. They're handcuffed by the quarterback now. And they're handcuffed by other big deals. You know, they're getting to the end of Ronnie Stanley, where, you know, like figuring that out or whatever. Sure. Humphrey, they're in the middle of. They better hope that he's a factor by Halloween. And that they can be 6-2 without him. And I think they can, you know, fine. I mean, but the Orioles and the Ravens being, when you and I get together, I don't know which way to go. It's so weird.
It's
because
a good
we
thing.
Used to just, we never had the Orioles
it
really
was
to
always
talk
Ravens,
about.
Right. But now I know every player of the team. I'm going to games, buying jerseys, you name it. I'm all in.
It's fun.
It is
it's
fun.
What it's about. It's why
it is
I'm
fun.
25 years later, it's honest to God why I'm here. It's not about fighting with Peter Angelos or Steve Bisciotti fighting with me. I ain't fighting with the Ravens. I made that clear. I ain't fighting with them. They're fighting with me.
Right.
This week it might look like I'm fighting with them because I'm telling the truth.
No, just
and they'll turn
yourself,
it into that.
All.
But it's not even defending. There is no, I don't have to defend the facts. What's in my phone defends itself. You know, like it is what it is. So, but I'm really looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to these Sundays. The weather changed a little bit.
Yeah, it's all
you
good.
Know, like it feels good. And it feels good to be talking about it with some expertise and an audience and people coming back. And you got good concerts. We've got things
yeah.
are open. Masks are off. Kids are going back to school. And hopefully sports is normal. Kids are normal. You know, the education's normal. And let's enjoy this time. Let's enjoy the good weather. Let's enjoy having baseball to look forward to every night. Because like I told Luke, and I'm not a Debbie Downer about bringing up the Mets or the Pot. I'm bringing up the reality of baseball.
Yeah.
I was here for 79 where 80 smelled good. 81 was even better. 82 went down to the left. And then we finally won in 83. It doesn't always work that way. Cal Ripken never won again.
Of
right?
Course.
So for me, this isn't a stage rehearsal. This is the real thing for
it's
them.
It's all in. Let's go. I'm with you.
Dennis, it's Labor Day weekend. How many Labor Day weekends are they ever going to be 35 games over 500 in a division where the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays have monumental resources to retool, to go steal our best players? If there was a car dealership down the street that could steal every one of your best employees every 18 months, because yeah. they weren't offering $100,000 or $150,000 and the bonuses weren't $10,000
right,
or $20
right.
grand. They were Saudi money. Literally. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's tough.
My mechanic who's making, you know, $150,000 a year, they just offered him $1.8 million a year. What am I going to do?
You can't compete with that. You just can't.
Well, that's the business they're in, and that's why Steve Bisciotti never wanted to be in the baseball business.
Right.
You know, like literally.
Smart
hey, man,
man.
I love coming on your show, and I love – you're my shoot interview now. You're my Dr.
That.
Melfi.
That's right. It's okay. Listen, I tell everybody out there that you're the most knowledgeable person I know in regards to sports. You have an encyclopedia worth of knowledge, Encyclopedia Britannica, if you will, and photographic memory and all that good stuff. So,
look, your support
you.
For me is implicit, and I appreciate that.
Kudos.
And I don't need to kiss your ass or.
Hey,
first last
to
thing
you.
I said to the governor when he sat down with me, everybody was kissing his ass. Wes, we're Costas. It's 8:30 in the morning, like,
yeah.
And he's not the governor yet, and everybody's just up.
Yeah,
you know, like all of it. And it's the stuff when Mueller and I were together, I'm like, dude, I don't roll that way.
Right.
He's just West to me, and I'll call him governor in a form, you know, like whatever. But like I said to him before we sat down, I put the pops on him. I'm like, I am not here to kiss your ass. You're about to become, you want people to vote for you. You want me to be tough on you.
Right.
It'll look better for both of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You
no,
know,
no hanging curves, no softballs down the middle.
Well, I mean, there is. I just had Ben Cardin on. He served our community since 1966. I'm not holding the proverbial, weaponry on him. I'm just, just trying to talk about what it's going to be like to not do it when you've been doing it since 1966. But I think we talked about, anybody wants to see my political work or see my community work or any of that. I had the Anne Arundel County executive on. I've had the Howard County executive on. I've had both sitting senators. The governor and I have been in communication about getting it done. The mayor's been on this week. Nobody runs from me. Nobody hides from me. There's no reason for them to run from me or hide from me. And I love my work. You can see the smile on my face that I love what I'm doing. And I will learn to love watching football on television on Sundays because I have been forced to.
Hey, sorry to hear that, but glad you're on the show here. There he goes. Nestor J. Aparicio here, 1570 AM. WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.